On 41, I'm Harold Fisher. We are taking a look at allergies of every stripe and how you can find relief on this Medical Monday. My guest is Dr. Autumn Burnett. She is with the Howard University Hospital Division of Allergies. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Francis, calling from Gaithersburg. Thanks for calling, Francis. What's on your mind?
I started to develop allergies when I was in my late 30s. And I did go and have some testing done, so I do know that I suffer from some indoor and outdoor allergens. My question is, as of late, there are certain perfumes that I'm very allergic to that I started, you know, itching. There are air fresheners that may start, you know, causing some symptoms. Things that were not, of course, on the test. What can I do to try to help myself? Because I just, of course, you'll never know what type of situation you're going to get into or what environment you're going to be in. But what can I do to try to, you know, help deter some of those symptoms? Because sometimes it gets really bad.
And you're talking about fragrances, perfumes.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
And roach spray, as you guys were talking about roaches. So if I go into someone's house and I smell some roach spray, I immediately, you know, start getting some symptoms.
Wow. Okay.
My question is, what are your symptoms again?
So my head starts itching me. So my sinus cavities all of a sudden just start, you know, seizing up. And then my nose starts itching. And almost immediately I have to get out of the situation. Because if not, then, you know, my head, it almost feels like I have 100 ants in my head. That it feels like that much pressure that I have to get out of the situation.
That's challenging.
I just got back from Jamaica today, and of course, they have their allergens, of course. So I did take something, and it did kind of relieve it. But I'm just wondering should I be taking something on a regular basis to try to deter some of these symptoms? Because sometimes it gets really bad.
Well, you may need to try different types of nasal sprays to see which one works the best. It sounds like it's mostly nasal. The pressure in the sinuses, the sneezing, the congestion. So you may want to try a couple of different nasal sprays. There's nasal steroid sprays like Flonase over the counter now, Nasacort. So there's several different nasal steroid sprays over the counter. You may want to try one of those. But then they also have prescription nasal antihistamine sprays that you would have to get from your doctor. So they work a little bit differently. So you may have to try more than one to see which one is most effective. And obviously, yes, trying to avoid the things that you know set you off, like the perfume and the strong scents and things like that. Just trying to avoid those would be the key as well. But maybe trying a couple of different nasal sprays.
Okay.
Perfect.
Well, Francis, good luck to you. Thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Stephanie, calling from Leesburg, Virginia. Stephanie, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
So last week, I had an awful body ache. My head was completely congested. I called off work and went to the doctor. And I found out I was pregnant. So they could not prescribe me anything at that point. I didn't have a fever. My symptoms were just kind of like allergy symptoms, I guess. They said, just hold off. If it doesn't get better, let us know. I've never had anything wrong with my sinuses ever, but today I woke up and I work at a dentist's office. My teeth are perfect, but on the upper right side, my teeth just ache and my ear aches and my eye aches and my head aches. So is this something to do with my sinuses? And if it is, can I take anything for it that's safe for early pregnancy?
Being that you are a pregnant female, you know that you really need to consult your physician, okay?
Yes.
I'm going to have to be very blank with you. Being a pregnant female, no one's going to give you that advice. Because you really do need an assessment. You need to identify if there's like a sinus infection going on. And then, you know, who's to say what's really going on? There's rhinitis of pregnancy. I don't know how far along you are, but there's also a condition called pregnancy-induced rhinitis, which causes a lot of nasal congestion. But then, you know, so who knows? You really need to have an appointment scheduled with your regular doctor. And then they can easily tell you what's safe for pregnancy and what's not safe for pregnancy.
Okay, yeah, I did go. They just said just try to wait it out And then this morning I woke up, my teeth and everything hurts. I didn't know what was going on, but yes, I will make a
If it's getting worse, you should go back.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
okay.
Congratulations on the pregnancy, Stephanie, and good health to you. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's talk to Sherita. Sherita calling from Port Washington. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Thank you. I have really bad sinus headaches,
mm-hmm.
but in addition to the headaches, I also have been diagnosed with migraines. So how am I able to differentiate if it's a sinus headache or if I'm having an actual migraine, and how do I treat it?
That's a good question. Migraines generally come with other things like, photophobia, which is the, light bothers you. It may be pain wrapped around your head as opposed to just the frontal sinuses or the sinuses where you're above your teeth, which are the maxillary sinuses. Sometimes with a sinus infection, you can have a low grade fever. There's a lot of fatigue. And if all of those things are not, leading you down a path of a diagnosis, then oftentimes, having an exam, looking at the sinus cavities, what we call transillumination can help as well.
And what is that?
Transillumination, you shine a light onto the maxillary sinus cavities and look to see if the light shines through the top of the palate. That's what we call transillumination. If there's no light passing through, you could have a lot of inflammation in the sinus cavities, as opposed to migraine, where you're not going to have inflammation in the sinus cavities. But yes, that's a good question. A lot of people have that concern. But migraines typically, it's a completely different type of headache, and it's associated with different things. So they're really not one and the same. You just probably need to have an official evaluation for migraine. Symptoms and sinus infections can also be identified on a CAT scan, a sinus CAT scan. So quite different, I would say, in terms of their presentation, but you just probably should have that looked at.
Okay.
Well,
Sherita, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Laurel calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Laurel. What's on your mind?
Yes, hi.
Hi.
I'm calling because for the last past 2 years, I've had issues with a sinus infection. And so I went to the allergy doctor, and I took this skin test, and I didn't have any allergies to anything besides the basic, it's called a histamine. But lately I've had excessive mucus in my throat, and I believe that it feels like something is stuck in it. But when I went to go get an upper GI, they said they didn't see anything. So I was just calling to see if there's some type of allergy that I could possibly have that can continue to allow me to have excessive mucus being built up in my nose and my throat. And also, I was diagnosed with a deviated septum, and I'm wondering if that has anything to do with it.
That's a very good question, and I see this quite a bit, the mucus sensation in the throat, the postnasal drip, acid reflux type of symptoms can definitely trigger that. And I understand you said you had an upper GI, which probably would indicate that someone was curious about acid reflux and stomach problems. So not all the time will you see evidence of acid reflux on an upper GI. What they may need to do is just treat for 3 months with an acid reflux medicine to see if that improves. But quite often I see acid reflux patients with a chronic postnasal drip and what we call a globus sensation, which is mucus that sits in the throat. The deviated septum, yes, can also cause a postnasal drip. One of the reasons for that is because you don't drain mucus appropriately. And so it gets backed up and then it drains and it's quite annoying. So both of these issues could be a factor in terms of the postnasal drainage and the mucus pooling in your throat.
Okay. Laurel, thank you so much for your call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Ebony calling from Virginia. Ebony, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, good evening. Hi, I have a 2-year-old son that is going through this allergy thing that he's going through. He just recently did the skin testing on his back, and Everything came back negative, except for the almonds, and that was it. But I've recently been giving him peanut butter, but he's not allergic to peanuts, but he's still having, like, this itch factor to where he's, like, itching all over the place because he's had peanuts. And same thing with the fish. He's not allergic to the fish, but I recently gave him fish, and he's still having this itch factor, and I still can't find where he's allergic. He's not allergic to it, so I was just wondering how I go about that if he's not allergic to it.
Hard for me to say. Unfortunately, I try not to give advice unless I do the allergy testing myself. So
yes.
I don't want to give you the wrong advice. He needs another evaluation.
Yeah,
he's going back in a couple of weeks to do another peanut testing. I guess it's the 3-hour testing that he has to consume peanut butter for 3 hours to see what else they can find with the peanut butter.
Yeah, food, it's called a food challenge.
I guess I got to let them know about the fish also, even though his skin test and his blood work came back negative.
Yeah, it's
for
seafood. A food challenge. It's that seems appropriate, you know, a food challenge in the clinic.
Okay. Well, Ebony, thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Cynthia calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Cynthia. What's on your mind?
Hi.
Hi.
Yes, I'm calling. My son, he's 17 years old, but for the past 2 years, he suffers with extreme itching from head to toe with a change in temperature. So even in the wintertime, if he's in the house, and it's like 71 or 72, he is outside sitting trying to get cold, and it could be 40 degrees outside. So he itches when it's hot, when it's warm. We've tried antihistamines, a combination of antihistamines, tried using soap such as Dove that's for sensitive skin, lotions for sensitive skin, and nothing seems to help. Any suggestions?
He probably needs a specialist workup because just to look at the skin, make sure there's nothing else on the skin that may be triggering anything. A lot of times I do see patients with what we call dermatographism, which is just very, very, very sensitive skin. And it can be treated with a combination of antihistamines, but it has to be the right combination of antihistamines. So it may be that he just needs another evaluation and try the right course of antihistamines. It's hard to say because I would have to look at the skin, do an assessment of the skin, and maybe even do somewhat of a mini workup. But it sounds like he has extremely sensitive skin, which is what we call dermatographism. And a lot of times it's just the right combination of antihistamines that will get that under control. But like I said, he probably needs a subspecialist to look at him.
Okay.
Now is that the same thing as urticaria or urticaria?
Urticaria, Dermatographic urticaria is the correct name for that.
Okay. Because on his skin, he just breaks out in red bumps all over, and he says he itches, but they also hurt.
Yes, he needs a subspecialist workup for sure.
Okay. A subspecialist workup?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Well, good luck to you and your son, Cynthia. Thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some other treatments and other forms of allergies. And if you have a question or if you have a comment about allergies, lines are still open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our discussion about allergies and how to find relief on this Medical Monday. My guest is Dr. Autumn Burnett. She is with the Howard University Hospital Division of Allergies. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. So, Dr. Burnett, can someone outgrow an allergy? And can they also develop an allergy later in life when they perhaps did not have any during their childhood years?
Both, yes. It just depends on the person, their immune system, their environment, their exposures, their genetic predisposition. But it's really everyone is an individual. Mm-hmm. It's not a blanket, you know, yes, they do or no, they don't. Or it's really individual based. But yes, if a person has mild symptoms as a child, it can be outgrown or it can come and go. And yes, they can develop in adulthood. I've even seen food allergy to seafood and nuts develop in adulthood. So, yes, and allergy to fresh fruits and fresh vegetables develop as an adult. So, yes.
Wow. So when we talk about insect bites or stings, you mentioned bees, yellow jackets, and the like. Again, sometimes people who have severe allergies, they may have some kind of emergency treatment for these things. Is that correct? And then other people, if they may have a mild allergy, they may take an over the counter medicine to counteract the effects of those stings or bites. How does that work exactly?
So allergy to stinging insect, which would be the Hymenoptera or the bees, the wasp, the yellow jacket. That specifically can either be just a local skin reaction where you have a large local swelling only at the injection site. We can't necessarily consider that to be a person that would be in need of emergency medication like epinephrine. However, if there's concern, that person should have a workup to make sure that they are not at risk for anaphylaxis. Some people have very sensitive skin, like I mentioned before, the dermatographic skin, very, very sensitive skin, and they just have large welts to anything. So that could be the case. Or you can have true anaphylaxis to a sting, which would involve multiple systems. It would involve respiratory wheezing, shortness of breath. It may involve full body hives after you get a sting, full body itching, swelling of the lips, the tongue, the eyelids. That would be considered anaphylaxis. And yes, we would prescribe emergency rescue, a self-auto-injector epinephrine to these patients and recommend that they carry it at all times. And then testing can identify which Hymenoptera and allergy immunotherapy can be recommended as well for that.
Now, what about shellfish or seafood? There are a lot of people that have difficulty with that. Is that the same kind of thing as the insect sting or bite?
Not at all. Okay. Shellfish is a food. Mm-hmm. We eat that.
Right.
And not at all. No, crustaceans. There's mollusks. Shellfish, and then there's crustacean shellfish. And some individuals are allergic to both. Some are allergic only to the group of mollusks. Some are only allergic to the group of crustaceans. So once again, we can easily do allergy testing to identify if there's shellfish or seafood allergy involved.
But the reaction could still be as severe
They can still have anaphylaxis if that's what you're asking.
Exactly, exactly. So let's go back to some of the into grass and tree pollen and other kinds of plants and the like. What is happening to the body when the eyes begin to itch, run, post-nasal drip? Explain how those plant allergies impact the body.
So any allergen involves IgE antibody, and the antibody is increased when it is exposed to an antigen or an allergen. So if you're exposed to pollen during the spring season, that antigen can have a localized effect on the nose itself, on the conjunctiva of the eye itself. You're inhaling that allergen into your respiratory tract, your lungs. And so that can have an effect in it. That antibody level increases with that exposure. And because of that, you get activation of immune cells called mast cells, M-A-S-T, mast cells. Once mast cells become activated, because of the antibody in communication with that allergen, you get mast cell activation and what we call mast cell degranulation. It's very medical. But essentially, it's the mast cell activation of the conjunctiva, of the nasal passages in the respiratory tract, on the skin, that once activated causes an inflammatory response, and you release histamine. That's the predominant mediator involved with allergies, histamine. That's why we give medication called antihistamines to treat allergic disease. But you can also give other medication to minimize that inflammatory response.
Why do antihistamines often cause drowsiness?
Not all of them do. As a matter of fact, most of them don't now. Claritin, Zyrtec, Allegra are all non-sedating antihistamines. The older generation histamines like Benadryl, yes, can cause sedation, but we have several non-sedating antihistamines.
I have an allergy I'm allergic to morphine. And whenever, you know, I've had to have a medical procedure and they say, you know, and I found this out, you know, afterwards to relieve the pain, when I was given morphine, then I broke out in hives and red splotches and dots. How does that work exactly?
So it still involves mast cells, but instead of involving IgE in a lot of cases, it directly activates mast cells. It's what we call direct mast cell degranulation. So the morphine and certain other medications can do this as well. Sometimes it's ibuprofen or what we call NSAIDs, non-steroidal anti-inflammatories. Any narcotic, any sort of narcotic can do the same. So morphine, along with other narcotics, can cause direct mast cell degranulation and hives.
Here's a really simple question. What is a sneeze?
It's a what we call a vasomotor response, or I should say it's a trigger once there's a stimulus. And the stimulus doesn't necessarily have to be an allergy. It can be anything. You can inhale salt and pepper or fine particles and create a sneeze response. But it involves the nerve endings in your nose. And those nerve endings are triggered, and their response is to evacuate the particulate matter from the nasal passages. So it's triggered by just stimulation of the nerve endings in the nose.
Because, you know, I guess I get this from my dad and my grandfather. We sneeze once a day, six or seven times in a row. I mean, you know, much to, you know, the chagrin of somebody who may be, you know, standing by, who, and most people, you sneeze once, you sneeze twice, and it's over. Why so much? I mean, I guess it's still trying to throw off everything.
It doesn't necessarily have to be allergic. Like I said, anything can cause that trigger of the nerve endings in the nose.
Neti pots, when you're talking about providing relief for pollen and the like, what is your opinion about them?
Love them.
Why is that?
You clean your nose. It's good hygiene for the nose. You're evacuating mucus from the nose. It's just good personal hygiene.
So I've seen them, because obviously, you know, as in discussing this, I've had some pollen issues, but just the thought of pouring water through your nose, just not appealing. Are there any other kinds of?
There's certain people that don't mind. I have plenty of patients that don't mind doing a neti pot.
Yeah, it just seems like waterboarding, or the thought of drowning. But short of that, any other suggestions for, you know, over the counter treatments of plant related allergies?
Well, over the counter now, we do have nasal steroid sprays. Flonase is over the counter. I mean, there's several other nasal sprays that are now over the counter. So you'd no longer need a prescription for a nasal steroid spray.
Mm-hmm. Also, a gentleman mentioned earlier, I think it was the very first caller, he was talking about allergies and asthma. Is there a relationship between the two?
Yes. Yes. Asthma can be allergic asthma. Asthma and allergic rhinitis, it's the same respiratory tract. Your nasal passages are an extension of your respiratory tract, right? Your lower respiratory. They're both connected, and they both involve the same mast cells.
So is there a chicken or the egg kind of thing? I mean,
not necessarily, no.
Okay.
Not necessarily.
Okay. So what would be the, so you can, in treating it, for example, if someone has an inhaler, would that impact the allergy, or would the allergy treatment such as an inhaler for or spray impact the asthma?
What I suggest is if you have nasal symptoms, treat the nose. If you have lung symptoms, airway, asthma symptoms, treat the airway and the asthma.
Okay. And I think and I only have about a minute or so left. What would be your final word on, you know, for people who are still, you know, the jury is still out on how to treat, you know, their various and sundry allergies?
Don't sit at home and do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Have an evaluation.
Okay.
That's the best, because there, it's not likely to go away, you know. We live in a region. This is a zone 2 allergy region of the country. We live in a region where
what does that mean, zone 2?
That just means this part of the country, we have certain allergens in this part of the country. And if you look at a map, it gives you several trees and weeds and grasses and different allergens in this zone. So there's different allergens in California than here.
Mm-hmm.
So we're in the zone of certain allergens. So have that testing. Get an evaluation. Don't sit and be miserable, because it could happen every spring.
Yeah, absolutely. And watch what you eat as well. So, Dr. Autumn Burnett, thank you so much. I appreciate you coming by.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll just keep our eyes on those roach allergies.
Yes.
As well,
oh, right? My gosh.
Yeah.
Exterminate your house.
Yeah, please. Keep the house clean. There you go. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Monday, May 1st. I'm Harold Fisher. You can follow me on Twitter at HFisher, WHUR, or Daily Drum, WHUR. Now, stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU, and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.